back, friends. Good to be with you again today. Wayne Elliott here. And we've been talking about many things and talking about sleep and anxiety and all of the confusing information and hidden agendas and different agendas and mixed messages. And, you know, 41 million Americans out of work. They say 3 million Canadians. That might be a lie. I don't know. I don't know who they're counting altogether, but if we had the same number as America, it would be like 4 million Canadians, I guess. And we're discussing the news and how we don't know what to trust. But there's so many things, I believe, that can lead to anxiety and depression and the feeling of being at dis-ease. And one of them, I think, is certainly is grief and loss. And so we have a special guest today. She is a grief counselor in Ontario, Canada, something I understand that she studied and began her work in after a tragic loss in her own life. So welcome to the Power Hour, Miss Catherine Howard.
Hello, Wayne. Thank you for having me on today. I really appreciate the invitation.
Well, it's great to have you. I thought it was it was fitting in these times, and as I say, with I'm not sure, but I would have to think that grief is also connected with anxiety and possibly depression, and so I thought it might be very fitting to have you with us on the show today. And Catherine, tell us, grief and loss. Am I correct that it can occur from other than losing a loved one?
Oh, absolutely, Wayne. Yes, there's actually over 40 different elements of our lives that can bring upon or contribute to grief. And we generally do think about losing a loved one or even a not-so-loved one, somebody we may have had a difficult relationship with. But we have lots of other major changes in our lives, and that can, I guess the second most common would be a change in our relationship through, say, divorce or just a regular breakup for people who may not be married at that time. But beyond that, we have so many other changes that happen in life. We might have to move. We might lose our health. We can lose our mobility. And even non-tangible elements like loss of faith or loss of trust in somebody who, you know, you may have a relationship with but maybe acted poorly towards you or against you even. So there are there are a lot of common elements that we may not first think of as grief, but because they create such an immense change in our life, that depression that some people identify might not actually be a depression per se, but grief disguised as such.
That's very interesting, Catherine. I'd never thought of something like a religion that, you know, people have held so closely and dear and been a big part of their lives, perhaps. And if they come to a feeling that they've lost faith, and I suppose that as well could happen through tragedy in our lives and things that happen to us where we, we've all heard, people wonder, let's say, if God is their creator, is their higher power, that where was he or she, how could this happen? And so that's very interesting that, the many different things that we can grieve over, maybe we don't even always recognize that we are. As you said, we could mistake anxiety or depression that really is based in grief.
It's true. It's true. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused, because nowadays it seems as though when we aren't feeling happy, when we don't have those, beautiful, joyous pictures to share with everybody through our social media streams, that there must be something deeply wrong that can perhaps even be corrected with medication. And that seems to be a popular choice for people nowadays. But what we fail to look at is in those moments, we're actually heartbroken, and maybe we've never experienced that before. Maybe we don't have an understanding or a strength or a connection with our emotional states, so aren't able to readily identify that it's simply a discomfort or a tragedy that's left you heartbroken. And what needs to happen is, rather than masking it with substances that might change a mood or change our behavior, to even lean into it. And that's what I encourage the people that I work with, is to maybe lean into the pain, lean into that discomfort, and find some common ground with it, get a little more familiar with it. And because if we live a long enough life, there's going to be many times during the course of it that we are going to be faced with difficult situations. And if we can learn how to live with these challenging emotions, learn how to give them space to exist and work through them so that they are worked through rather than packed deep down inside and left somewhere where we don't touch them, when we're able to learn how to work through them, then that's when we start to be able to heal. And that's when we begin to accept and have a more comfortable domain within our emotional state.
That's, you made some very interesting points there, Catherine, and it put me in mind, it truly is. Well, maybe it's not coincidence, I don't know, but it sure was unplanned. I was speaking earlier in the show about some fairly extensive training over a few years that I had with a group called Self Discovery. And one of the things that, that you know, we're really taught is to feel. You know, we don't like to feel uncomfortable. We don't like to go certain places, you know, with our feelings. But it's really part of the solution and the answer, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And we're a society now that, even though, you know, a typical cold will be finished in 5 to 10 days, we still want to run to the store and medicate something so simple as that, because we don't like to feel uncomfortable or different from our, you know, typical day-to-day or what we perceive as normal and happy. So to embrace these challenges, embrace these changes, embrace the fact that life does have both ups and downs, and they're constantly going to be teeter-tottering throughout the years, to be able to have the courage to say, okay, I want to sit down with my pain. I want to sit down with my anger. I want to sit down with my hate and maybe explore why I'm feeling that way. Maybe explore, you know, why have I lost faith in this tragedy? Maybe in those religious moments, maybe our God is still with us all the way, right? Like that poem about footsteps in the sand. But we have to believe that we have the strength and the courage, and even these challenging situations are opportunities for our own personal growth.
I agree with that. And I guess, Catherine, it's fair to say that there's really no one-size-fits-all in terms of counseling or helping one or helping oneself with grief. There's no one solution fits all situations, is there?
I don't think there is. I think there may be commonalities that will support and be helpful for most people, but each and every situation is so unique of its own. And, you know, it's difficult. People tend to compare their losses. Like maybe somebody has lost a partner of 50 years and their friend shows up to the service and says, oh, I know exactly how you feel. I had to put my dog down last year. Well, yeah. Losing your partner and losing your pet, they both hurt. All losses are painful, but we cannot compare. And even one spouse to, you know, a spouse from another couple, those relationships are different. Those are four completely separate human beings. Each couple has a completely different dynamic, different relationship, different life experiences together and separate. And so even when they seem similar, they're not. We never really know what the other person's feeling. We only remember how we felt when we were in a similar situation. So to your point, Wayne, we can try to strive for happiness, for completion of the relationships, for a modality to help us heal that serves the individual well. But for each and every individual, there's going to be variances into how they might achieve that.
That certainly makes sense when you feel into it. It's almost an analogy that might be relative. It would be like the different types of love is love, but love for our mate, our wife or husband, is a sort of different love than for our children, different than for our parents, different than for our friends. It's all love, but in the same way, there are differences, right? So maybe that's what makes some of these issues in our lives difficult, is because, well, take parenting. I mean, I know they have books on it, and they'd probably be right on the money if we were all identical, if we weren't like snowflakes and all of us different, and all children different. There's great similarities, but just our DNA is unique, and it's kind of impossible to fairly judge another or put oneself in somebody else's shoes. You really can't do it. What about duration of time, Catherine? Is there a length of time considered usual or normal for someone to move through the grieving process? And then what's the second phase of the grieving process, if you will?
That's a really interesting question, and it's actually quite popular because in today's society, we don't, again, right, going back to this feeling it, you know, wanting to be okay all the time, wanting people to be happy all the time, which gets enforced through our social media channels when we're seeing all the happy people doing what happy people do. But nobody puts their messiness, or very few people at least, put all their messiness and drama and struggles out there online for other people to read. We're seeing more of it in recent days now, with lots going on globally and especially in North America. But for the most part, the timeline, everybody wants, you know, your person, your friend, your family member, like just to be okay. And the reason for that is because they're uncomfortable watching your emotions happen. But the truth is that there is no specific timeline. Everybody grieves differently. Each of those relationships are completely unique. So I've noticed through my talks and coaching of other people that when it's a loss of a spouse or a loss of a child, those ones tend to hurt deeper and for much longer. And often the pain can be mitigated, but may never fully, completely, 100% go away. So the challenge is mostly that there is no timeline. You know, our employers, our countries, our governments give us, at least in Canada, we get 3 days bereavement leave. Well, nothing so tidy as to have it all cleaned up in 3 days. Not the funeral, not the service, and certainly not the lasting emotions that are tied together. So where people end up experiencing secondary losses is that their family, their friends, their coworkers only give them so much space. So a lot of people seem to feel that a couple weeks or a couple months or, oh, it's been a year, you should be, in parentheses, over it by now. But the truth is that it takes much longer in many cases. And once once our peer groups reach their limit of tolerance, we then lose those people as well. Those relationships change. The people we expected to support us are not showing up because they don't have the emotional strength to deal with the situation. So people who have lost somebody to a death or a divorce are often also losing their relationships to their friends and their peers and family members along the way as well.
Yeah, that's definitely ringing true, Catherine. And, you know, it's certainly a personal thing. And have you seen, I've only heard of this, but in your experience, have you seen where people actually, you know, avoid the grieving process? We say get over things, Catherine, and I don't think we get over anything. I think we have to go through it. It's a process,
yeah,
like so many other things. You don't go over it, you go through it. And do some people, whether consciously or subconsciously, do they avoid or somehow try to avoid the process of grieving?
Oh, yes. People are famous, as we are as humans, for distracting ourselves, right? Anytime you have something important to do, it's really easy to, you know, go pet the dog or get on the phone or go on a Netflix bender. And a lot of people, just as human nature is, again, we don't want to be uncomfortable. So rather than dive into those difficult emotions and really allow ourselves to experience them, we'll do, you know, anything, much like an author will avoid actually writing his book, right? We'll do anything to keep ourselves busy, right? That's a very common myth. If you just keep yourself busy, you'll be okay. But the truth of that is that the busier we keep ourselves, the longer it's going to take for the healing process, because we're just avoiding the whole situation. We are completely distracting ourselves from the opportunity to heal and use the loss and the struggle as a learning and a growth process. It is awful. It is messy. And most people don't have the emotional stamina or endurance to deal with it. And so they just choose to, you know, either dive into work, or some people will dive into substances. I know even for myself, my loss has been almost 12 years ago now, and I lost my only child during cancer treatment. He was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and the doctors at the hospital said, you know, if treatment goes well, you guys will be home for Christmas, which was about 2 months away. But my son got an infection and he passed within 3.5 weeks. So one of my coping strategies, which doesn't work at all, I did drink heavily for a couple of years and then realized that I'm not honoring him. I'm not honoring my own life. And in order to be able to actually turn this tragedy into an opportunity to live a beautiful life, so that one day, if I do get to sit beside him again and he asks me, Mama, what did you do after I left? I want to be able to say I lived and then share all those stories with him. And when we're busy distracting ourselves from the actual pain, we also end up distracting ourselves from the opportunity to live a full and beautiful life and engage in wonderful relationships with friends, maybe find our deep purpose in life, to be able to go out and collaborate and contribute and support our community, whether it's locally or globally. And that is a greater heartbreak, I think, when people choose to hide and avoid the pain so deeply that they miss out on everything that's right here.
Well, you know, I think you're talking about me, Catherine. When I didn't start this self-discovery work until I was about 55 years old. I was stuck on many things, and one of the things I was stuck on, I know, was grieving. And boy, after much work with some very good trainers to peel back the onion layers on me, dig into myself, you know, I discovered that it was all based, my big fear of loss, especially people, of course, came from a grandfather, my mom's dad, who was just wonderful to me. And he passed, I think, the same day as President Kennedy did. And I think I was, I don't know, I was 7 years old, but I'll never forget this. I remember my mom and dad speaking in the next room, should they allow me to see, go to the funeral, see my dead grandpa. And I can remember like yesterday, boy, standing there, my dad, you know, towering beside me at the coffin and wanting to touch my grandfather, but I was scared. It sure looked like him. I knew it was him, but who'd have thought that could affect my life right up to the point of 55 years old when, you know, through learning more about myself and just hating loss. One of my dearest, dearest, oldest friends lost his son 22 or 3 years ago, and, geez, I can still hardly talk about it, you know, and it just, what it really meant, and it touches on what you said, I was feeling the discomfort knowing my friend and loving my friend so well, the boy's dad, and I guess feeling for him, and also, as you said, not wanting to experience that for myself. It was an absolute horror to me. And then after, you know, these last few years, I had a rough, I had 1 year. I've been so lucky in my life, Catherine, that I didn't lose anybody except some old grandmas and grandpas and great grandparents and so forth. No friends or anybody young or anything, you know, until I was almost 50 years old. And then in 2006, lost 5 people very close to me. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. You can make some comments when we come back from the break. We'll be right back,
folks.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a vitamin toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back to the Power Hour radio show, folks. I have as our guest today Ms. Catherine Howard, a grief counselor from Ontario, Canada, and we've been discussing grief and many sides to it. I was just saying, Catherine, my own technique, if you will, that has changed for me, and it first took knowing, getting to know myself better and where some of my dealings and things came from my environment and things that happened to us. And these days, of course, it's very sad, and we lose someone or lose anything we care deeply about, but I would think most particularly another person that we love. But if we love them so much to feel so sad and such a loss, it generally means that we were very grateful to have them in our lives and so blessed to have them in our lives. And that is what I do now. Now, I don't know if this is just an avoidance mechanism. It doesn't feel like that for me. I try and feel truly grateful for these people that end up being lost to us, and grateful that I had them in my life. Back in 06, when I lost 4 or 5 mentors and people close to me, it was I suffered for close to the 3 years, and then between some of this training and awareness and aware of myself, and then 2009, my dad and my lawyer, who had started me in business, 38 years previously, who I thought the world of, and my spiritual leader, the finest man I ever met, Dr. John Johnston, was the head of the World Presbytery. They all went within a couple of months of each other, and I'm afraid had I not known myself better, it might have just brought me down too far, and I was just so grateful for the three of them, how blessed I was to have the three of them in my life. So can you comment on that? Have I used some avoidance technique, or is this a healthy way to look at things?
I believe you've embraced the relationship and the way that those men have touched your lives in a beautiful way. Gratitude is is a practice that helps us actually see what is available to us, see where we're, what we are rich in with our relationships, with our love, with how people have, as you say, mentored and led and impacted your life in a positive way, to focus on that element. It's a choice. It's an equal choice to focus on all the beauty of the relationship and all the benefit and encouragement and love that existed. And it's also a choice to go the other way and choose to focus on the suffering and the loss. We're all going to experience loss, and but we choose how long we want to suffer through our actions. So I believe you're embracing when you choose to find gratitude in the situation. It doesn't, and by doing so, it does not negate that there is still pain attached to that loss. You still are able to miss those relationships and the time spent and the physical contact of being able to have communication and conversation with these people who were so important to you. But you can still enjoy everything that was a part of that. And I think that's a beautiful way to endeavor through the loss process, through the grieving process.
Well, when I think of the great things, many of them with some of these men, for example, you know, it does make me happy. It does make me feel grateful. And yes, you know, you wish they were still here, but I've chosen to believe, I don't know if any of us knows for sure, but I've chosen to believe that we stay connected, our spirits do, and that we'll meet again. And I just choose to believe that. I want to believe that. And, you know, it helps with, I think so much of what's going on today is based, and I've heard a couple of experts talk about this, based in our fear of our own mortality, our own death. And, it's like you say, if you see somebody that you feel bad about, that, oh boy, look at that fella. Really, I think we're feeling that we're glad we're not him. We're not in the wheelchair. You know, it comes back on ourselves. Would you, you know, you've noted, Catherine, different types and kinds of grief over different events and losses in our lives. What is there a common thread, or is it just sadness? And is there another common thread that you'd say that you know, I'm kind of lost for words here, but do you get what I mean?
I do, Wayne, yes. Ultimately, it's a loss, but it also initiates a change in our common behavior and daily events. Whereas, you know, you're used to being able to have those conversations, whether it's on the phone or in person, you know, you reach out for those people now, and they're just not there. So our whole pattern of our life, if you will, adjusts and changes when somebody who was prevalent in our life then is no longer available to us. And that, for a lot of people, can take a great deal of effort to adjust to get used to and to endure the adjustments and changes that are needed to create a new normal for themselves in their life.
Yeah, it sure is funny how I don't know how the human mind works, Catherine. As you were saying that, I thought, including my dad, but a total of three great men in my life, great mentors of my life. And after they passed, it happened once for each of them, where I picked up the phone and began to dial their number, because it was one of those times that I would have called my dad who was a real character, and I would just say, Dad, now this is serious, so I'd like you to think about this a moment and tell me what you think, or so he wouldn't just shoot from the hip, you know, or And, you know, another was just an old mentor that he lived into his 90s and was like a grandfather to me, but it had to do with our work, and I was calling him for an opinion, and, you know, he'd passed 6 months before, and that, you know, as I started through the number, I got the area code. He was from Florida, the fellow I'm talking about, and I said, oh, shoot. And,
yeah.
You know, yeah, have another moment of... missing them, of course, and you know, it's funny the way I, you know, you wouldn't think you could actually do that and forget for that moment, you know. And my friend, a friend of mine who lost his wife, and they were soulmates indeed, one of my friends, and his wife passed 15 years ago now. He said that it was years, Catherine, when he was at home having a cup of tea, and oftentimes, because he started, he was a tradesman, so he started oftentimes at 6 in the morning, and his wife was an administrative worker in a local company, so he was often home an hour or two before her at the end of their work day. And he said for years that every time he heard the front door, that, you know, he expected Liz to come through it.
Right. Yeah,
you know, his wife that had been lost to him. And I thought, wow, you know, I don't know what to think or say about that. Is that just a trained response, or what? You know, it goes so much
pattern,
further than me,
right?
Forgetting for a moment and dialing a phone number, you know.
Yeah, and maybe it's a bit of hope too, right? Like there's these patterns of our lives where every time that door did open, probably 9 times out of 10, it was Liz walking through it. So, yeah. I don't. We have these rhythms of our lives, and I think it's like muscle memory in a sense, right? We just expect, part of us expects it because it's embedded within us, this experience. And to adapt to the change, you know, I'm sure every moment, you know, heartbeat into it, he'd recognize that, oh no, it's obviously somebody else coming through the door, or the wind caught it today. But part of me, I don't know if they're still here with us either. Part of me wonders, maybe she's creaking it just for him.
maybe
she in her spirit form is still touching the house in some capacity, you know. But we do. We want to still be connected. And I know for myself, I've lost many friends and much of my own family. And I believe part of that connection is those pieces and snippets of conversation and experience that we continue to bring with us, essentially our memories, where there's a fellow I used to work with, and he died about 4 or 5 years ago now, and he would just come up with the craziest things to say at work, right? It got everybody laughing, and sometimes I find myself in this situation, and I can hear his voice saying one of these jokes, you know, and it's like, oh, you, I know you're not here, but I think you're here in a way, right? Because we do carry those pieces and those fragments of memory along with us. And I think that is when we say they always remain with us in a way, that is definitely a substantial piece of it, those patterns, those memories, those words, those sensations.
Sure. And it's interesting, Catherine, how we can handle things so differently from one of us to another. The same fellow, he never again went up. It was a two-story house they lived in. He never again went to the second floor and slept in the bedroom that he and Liz had shared for all those years. Never again until he was out of the house. He slept on, he's a small man, he slept on the Chesterfield downstairs. And yet you see, you know, and you see it in the movies, of course, and I'm kind of like this myself, where I tended to look at pictures, look at some of their belongings, you know, even speaking about my parents and that, and, you know, you think back to situations, or maybe you gave it to your mom, and, you know, so it brings you back to that moment. What do you have to say about that? Taking my friend who did not ever go upstairs again, so it's like he didn't want to be, I don't know what to say, is that he didn't want to be reminded? He went to the cemetery daily for years, and still goes routinely, but I found it a bit odd that he wouldn't go back upstairs again.
It's hard to say. Every situation, this is a really good example, is very different, and he's going to have his reasons. I don't know the circumstances of her actual moment of death. Did it happen at home? Was maybe he just wants to honor the marital bed by not being in it if they can't be there together? It could be, it's whatever. People want to do the things that can bring them the most ease and comfort generally. For some right. people, it's to, you know, endeavor deeper into the suffering. But for others, it's just, you know, can't go into that room anymore. You know, and he wants to visit her and spend time. So he's maybe now associating the gravestone with how he can connect with her and how he can communicate and share his day. So each right. person's different. Not everybody is buried. Sometimes other tragedies happen. Like if later on there's a house fire or, you know, any number of circumstances where you start to lose possessions at some point along the way, there can be more loss through that, those actions or those events where now you don't have the memories because maybe something happened to the photo album, and then there's another layer of loss that comes along with that. And it's to be responsible for our own happiness and our ability to connect with joy in our lives, we have to figure out how to endure the pain so we can see through to the other side. So we can, you know, almost encourage or gently force ourselves to find new ways to exist in this life that we never anticipated would change in that fashion through the loss of the person that we love and now miss very deeply.
Right. So, Catherine, would you suggest that perhaps the most important thing people try to do and focus on at the outset of a loss, and I guess it can really depend, too, if it's a shocking, sudden, unexpected loss or if it's a long illness and kind of anticipated. Neither one is not sad. They're both sad. But would you suggest the most important thing for folks that they do feel and they allow themselves, acknowledge that they have to grieve and go through the process?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If we can give ourselves one gift, it will be to spend time in it. And it may sound strange to even hear me say those words, like spend time in it. Well, of course we're spending time in it. We're devastated. Life is completely turned inside out. But there's a difference in welcoming to a degree. It's hard to find the words around it, and I know different listeners are going to hear different versions of what I'm saying, but if we can find a space where we can absolutely honor our loss in all of its pieces and places, to honor the person that we've lost, to honor the future that is no longer available to us and therefore lost, to honor the shift in emotion, to honor this adjustment in lifestyle and all these adaptations that we must now address and focus on or are forced to give ourselves space to honor all the elements, all the pieces, and hold it, you know, hold yourself in love, hold yourself with the same kindness that you would a child. We don't always know how to explain it to other people. It's certainly difficult to explain it to ourselves, and that's why we often do well to find a guide, someone who can help us navigate this journey through this situation that we never expected to be in the first place.
Yeah, no doubt that it all sure makes some sense. And I, I know that with that training I took over several years, that, you know, we were, part of it was feeling uncomfortable and as you say, resting in it, staying in it. What was kind of amazing was the more you'd focus on it, the more it would diminish. I've certainly come to believe that, and there's nothing wrong with naked emotions. I mean, to hide your emotions, I some people can. I've never been able to myself, and I just hope that nobody is holding back because they think it's not proper or anything. I mean, you feel how you feel, and I've always, you know, since my training, felt it was best to let it out. Catherine, I really want to thank you for joining us today. That was very interesting, and I hope helpful to others, including me, and to perhaps have a better understanding and expectations, and see their way not over it but through it, and to a good life still on the other side. And I appreciate your time with us today, Catherine. Thank you very much for joining the Power Mall, and we'll have to have you back another time.
Sounds great, Wayne. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks. All the best. That's Catherine Howard, folks, a grief counselor. She mentioned her own, where it all started for her with loss of her only child. And hard to think of a tougher, worse loss in life than that. She also illustrates how, you know, we can come back and carry on with our life, never without the sadness, never without hopefully great memories and love that we feel and will continue to feel, I expect. Anyway, it's all part of our health, folks. Whether it's mental or physical, you know, we've really got to. It could be a bit of work, but we have to work at staying healthy. They say a healthy mind or a healthy body leads to a healthy mind. I believe that, you know, some fresh air. I've always found even a stroll, a light walk, was great to burn off what I always called bad or negative energy. I never regretted doing it. Or a bicycle ride, if you're able to ride a bicycle and you have one, or anything like that. Certainly the fresh air, the sun keeps coming up every day, and you know, we are best to live certainly in our grief and to go through it, to work through it, suffer through it, and hopefully come out the other side with gratitude and appreciation for that or those that we've lost. So I hope you enjoyed that today, and I hope you got some help out of it. Once again, the Power Mall has many, many great products. Strauss Naturals, you can go on their website, see the products at straussnaturals.com. You can contact the Power Mall through thepowermall.com. Get any of these great products, or talk to the customer service reps at either Strauss or at Jay at the Power Mall. I hope you give it to yourself today, and I hope you got something, some enjoyment or entertainment, something out of the show and out of our guest. We'll have Catherine back another time, and try and do your best to manage your anxiety, folks, and it's easier said than done, I know. Sometimes consider the REM sleep product if you're having sleep issues. It's not a healthy thing to be without, and the REM sleep is all natural and a healthy thing for you to take with no risk. And that Tranquil is a excellent formula to turn down. It's the only way I can describe it, really, in layman's terms. Turn things down a notch and make yourself feel more relaxed and better. We'll get through this pandemic, and we'll need each other more than ever. and we'll need good supplements, keep ourselves with good vitamins and minerals and so forth, and some of these good formulas, all of which is available on the Power Mall. I'd suggest everyone consider a good full-spectrum mineral as well. These are things that are very important, and to keep that immune system strong so that we don't befall some of these creatures and ailments and cancers that are out there can bring us down. And so, as I say, there's all great products on the Power Mall. More information on Strauss, StraussNaturals.com. And, you know, try and look forward. We won't always be stuck in this this current mess. We will get through it. We'll learn lessons from it. Hopefully our leaders as well learn lessons from it, and we'll all come out the other side better. That's what I hope, and that's what we keep praying for. I want you to know we're grateful for your taking your time to listen in today, and I know how important your support for the Power Mall and the good guys at the Power Mall, pardon me, is. That's the reason the Power Hour radio show can air, is your support. So God bless everyone, and best to you all in perfect health. Wayne Elliott signing off again, and I'll be with you again soon. Have a great day, folks.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.